a Radio 191 FM podcast.
We have a very special guest here in the booth. We've got Brendan Hoffman, a man after my own last name, coming in to talk about, I guess, a bit about his career as a music producer and engineer. Morning, Brendan. How you doing?
Morning, mate. I'm well.
Nice. Yeah, you're having a pretty chill morning here?
So far, so good.
Nice. Yeah. And you're here in Otepoti on a visit. You've been in New York for the last decade and a half. How is it coming back here?
It's good. It's very quiet. And I guess, too, with no students as well. But, yeah, New York to Dunedin's a hell of a culture shock. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Has it changed much since you left back in the 90s?
No. Not really, you know. It's like once you get outside the octagon after 6 p.m., there's nothing.
It's one way to put it, eh?
Yeah.
Now, you're originally an Invercargill Hoffman.
Correct.
As am I.
I know.
There might be some mutual connection there.
There's got to be somewhere.
What's your father's name?
Max.
What's his father's name?
His father's name is Ernest.
Ernest. Yep. Okay. I don't know if I know of any Ernest Hoffmans. Did they come from Poland?
Austria. They were Austria. The Gore. The Hoffman brothers, there was like 12 of them. They settled in Gore.
Yeah.
In like the 1930s.
Did they work on railroads?
Railroads. Yeah. And all sorts of, basically laborers.
Yeah. Well, my great-granddad and your granddad might have been brothers then.
Could well have been.
Possibly. I mean, I don't know. Do you know any other Hoffmans in Invercargill that you're related to?
Just immediate. Like my dad's brother, that type of thing.
You ever hear rumors of the A.G. Hoffman contractors? Bruce Hoffman?
Yeah. My dad was related to them, but I think it was like cousins or something.
Right, those are my Hoffmans.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
chances are we share some genes.
Like fifth cousins or something.
Something like that.
Yeah, there's a resemblance in the nose, I think.
Yeah, there you go.
No, that's great. What have you been up to this year, music-wise?
This year, it's been probably one of my busiest years. I work for a management company.
Is that Teamwork?
Yeah,
Teamwork. T-E-M-W-R-K?
Yeah. And we manage a bunch of different clients, and my job is to... my title is Director of Touring, so...
Yes.
Basically, my job is to look after the clients when it comes to their live shows, their production, their touring, all that sort of stuff. And this year's probably been the busiest year that I've had at the company in the 10 years I've been there.
That's good, because I saw an interview you did with the ODT back in 2020 during the COVID lockdown. And that was, I mean, from your words then, it seemed like a very stark time for live music. Yeah. I mean, it was nothing happening.
No, I was basically director of not touring for 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. I literally did nothing for 22 months.
Oh, I mean, imagine, organizing international tours is already a headache. Mm-hmm. But I also imagine... having COVID on top of that would be a migraine.
Yeah, no, it was impossible to do anything, and therefore you didn't.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
So were you guys focusing more on just national tours in the States when COVID restrictions were eased?
Yeah, basically. Everything kicked back into gear in America, and it kind of went from 0 to 100 as well.
Yeah.
Like, when it picked up, it was crazy. And it was very challenging, because we had 2 years of no up-and-coming learners. So no new stagehands, no new engineers, no young blood. And then a whole lot of people had just retired or left the music industry altogether.
Mm-hmm.
So finding people was next to impossible. To even staff a tour was incredibly hard.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
So this next question I have is very long-winded.
Okay.
So please bear with. But our station manager, Christina, sent me some kind of material for research in preparation for today. And one of those research materials was an interview you had with Tapop in 97 when you were touring with The Chills. And then I saw on that website a recommended interview with Mike Patton from Faith No More, who I am a massive fan of. And at the very end of that interview from Tapop, he's asked to give advice on recording stuff. And he says, record your own shit. Don't worry about what some effing engineer is going to tell you. Don't worry about the right way to do it. You're the only one who is going to know how to record it right. Don't hire someone to tell you what to do. If you need to be told what to do, then you don't know what you want. What do you make of that?
I totally agree, mate.
You totally agree? Coming from an engineer?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
100%.
Okay, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like, as an engineer, your job is just, to realize what the person is trying to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
Not to achieve it for them. You know,
do you think that's the mind state a lot of people come into hiring engineers with?
Well, it depends. You know, I think there's a big difference between a producer and an engineer. If you hire a producer, then you're expecting the producer to have some artistic input. But if you're hiring an engineer, their job is purely to do what you want them to do, not to add anything or take anything away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever had that experience where someone hires you as an engineer thinking that you're more of a producer / artistic input vibe?
No, not really. I think generally, you know, at the level I was working, which is, you know, pretty minor, you know, it's not like I was doing, you know, huge Grammy Award winning stuff or anything like that. It was, you know, very basic. And it's a bit more DIY, so people, you know, tend to want some input, you know, but you learn pretty quick when to shut the fuck up. Yeah.
Yeah, Mike Patton, of course, a very, very polarizing figure there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, very, very funny interview. As I said before, the most recent interview I saw, you were in New York in 2020 during COVID, and you're working for Teamwork. And things were a bit gnarly for the first 2 years. But how has it been from 2023 to 2024?
It's just logarithmically gotten busier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like I said earlier, you know, this year has been just crazy busy. I've had so many tours. You know, at one point I had 16 tours out at the same time.
Far out. You know. How do you stay on top of that?
I try. Coffee.
I'm glad to hear.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm going to kind of work things from now, I guess, back into the day. Because you went to the States after working lots with Dunedin bands such as The Chill, Snapper, Swarm, Funhouse, and so on, with a great deal of that material not being available online. How do you think future generations will come to look back on the Dunedin Sound era if you know, some of those key bands aren't even on digital platforms? And who do you think will be the most unsung band of that era?
Ooh, unsung. That's going to be a tricky one.
Mm.
As far as, you know, the first part of your question, I think, you know, on between, you know, the evil that is Spotify, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there that, you know, is much easier to get nowadays too. But I'm also a big proponent of, you know, seeking music out. And I think I was having a conversation with someone last night about this, just about the convenience of music nowadays. It's almost, you know, it's too convenient, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think when you have to go and look for music, you get to appreciate it more.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. As far as unsung heroes go, there's so many from this part of the world. You know, it's Graham Down, Shane Carter, you know, and they're not unsung per se, but, you know, they certainly could be given more due on an international basis. You know, and there's also, you know, you got local musicians here. Craig Monk is someone who comes to mind. You know, he's a super talented guy, talented musician. And Heath Tiao and Tristan Dingemans, you know, this.
Yes, HDU.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And actually, a little plug, I saw they're doing a show at Pearl Diver this weekend, Kahu, which is Tristan, and then Craig's esoteric, psychedelic three-piece that he's doing. And so, yeah, I might stick my nose in there on Saturday.
Nice. Yeah, how long are you down in Dunedin for?
I'm here till Tuesday, and then I head up to Auckland for a couple of days,
uh-huh.
and then back to New York.
Damn. Yep. And then you're going to go down to Invercargill, say hi to any family down there?
Just came back from there.
Oh, you just came back?
My mum's birthday.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, no, it was awesome.
Yeah.
Caught up with family, brothers and sisters, etc.
And Inver's changed quite a lot since you last been down there?
It has.
It really has. Like, even the last 2 years, it's like nearly a new city in a way.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I couldn't agree more. It's, quite a stunning difference, to be honest.
I think, like, they really kind of missed the retail boat, and I feel like they're playing catch up now, and it might be working. I'm not too sure. But yeah, I'm just glad there's a little bit more food options down there.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah.
Also, did you pay a visit to Threes and Sevens record store?
I did not.
Really? And next time you're down there,
coulda shoulda woulda
indeed. Back to, I guess, your career. From 1996 to 2002, you worked on Snapper's ADM and My Deviant Daughter's Sinner in 1996, The Chill's Jungle Law in 2001, and New York City DJ Lenny D's History of Industrial Strength Volume 1 in 2002. And then on your Discogs page, there's a 7-year blank period between that and you working on Kings of Leon's Live at the O2 London, England in 2009. Quite a massive jump there in terms of, I guess, star power. What were you doing in between those years?
Basically, I ended up in Portland, Oregon in 98 mm-hmm. and started working at a little punk rock club, you know, just doing sound and stuff. And then eventually ended up getting offered a tour with a band from Brooklyn called Versus. Great band, and they're in fact still around today. And then Beck Runger was coming over to open for a band called Better Than Ezra. Mm-hmm. And so her manager contacted me, and I ended up going out and did sound for her on that tour. And then at the end of that tour, the Better Than Ezra sound guy left, so they offered me a job, and so I ended up touring with them. Mm-hmm. And then from there, it was just basically touring for those 7 years, you know, worked my way through Better Than Ezra, and then Everclear, Matthew Sweet, Indigo Girls, you know, a whole bunch of different artists. And then, ended up with Kings of Leon, who I worked with for 4.5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crack up, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are those guys up to now?
Actually, they're doing really well. They released an album about 6 or 8 months ago, which sounds so much like their original couple of albums. You know, they sort of went back to their roots. It's actually a good album. Oh, cool. But yeah, they're touring solidly and selling out arenas and huge venues all over the place still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty magical, really.
Yeah.
Insane. As you mentioned before, you've worked with big artists like Kings of Leon. You also work with Diplo. And, you know, what do you think it is about yourself that you've gotten to where you are and being in that AAA talent sphere? And this is something you don't have to comment on, but are there many times you've had to bite your lip in that kind of sphere?
Oh, many times.
Many times.
Yeah, yeah. You know, but I think that's the same in any working environment. You know, it's not necessarily just the music. And as far as, I think there's... You know, not that I call it a secret, it's just never say no. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, if someone offers you something, say yes. You know, if you fuck it up and you fail, big deal.
Yeah.
You know, we all have plenty of those. I know I do.
Yeah. Me too. Me too, man. Me too. But, you know, it's incredible seeing a young man from Invercargill go all the way to going to New York and being the head of touring for a massive music company. So, congratulations on your career, man.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Appreciate it.
Of course. Yeah. And you've requested a track for us today, King Loses Dickdale. This is something that you recorded here at the R1, indeed, eh?
Yeah, this was actually recorded at Radio 1. It was part of... They came in, they did a live to air.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're hearing is basically just everything straight to 2-track, you know, and it was like, this is how it sounded in the room at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think this was 1995 or thereabouts. Yeah, and it's from their first album, Sonic Super Free Hi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. I'm really excited to hear it. King Loser, you're listening to The One. That was Brendan Hoffman. Stay based, stay cool, and stay tuned, folks. Thank you very much for listening.
This was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more at r1.co.nz or wherever quality content is found.